The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network. The Cold Slither, you'll be joining us soon.
Good evening, Rick. Would you believe it's Dr. Doom?
What's on your evil mind?
Hold your insulting tongue and mock my words well.
How about this rumor that you are really hired, Mr. Stark?
And welcome to another episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. Tonight I'm joined by @PCN_dirt on Twitter.
Yay!
I assure you, I am here. I just can't find my webcam at the moment.
Exactly. Laugh at him.
Hey, now, come on. At least I'm here.
Yeah, true.
And the man behind the sound effects is @Agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
And not here with us, but one of the crew is @RoddyCat on Twitter. Make sure to go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can read comic book reviews, listen to previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, and much more. Follow the Twitter account, @TheClickNation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheClickNation. And also subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles on your favorite social media websites. Add us on Google Plus. Just search for TheClickNation and the TheClickNation community. We are also a part of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network.
You'll be joining us soon.
You can find us on there @coldslitherpodcast.com. And at some point, probably after the news, I will read a commercial that I promise I'd start reading during the episodes, a live little commercial for some of the our sponsor, ad sponsors, to keep the Cold Slither Podcast running. I would do it now, but I don't have the document open because I just now remembered to do it.
So shout out to Comic Related.
Oh, yes, Comic Related. I send our podcast over there, comicrelated.com. Just look for their podcasting network on their website. And we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you're home on a Thursday night around 9-ish, come join us.
9-ish is right.
Never going to be exactly on at 9. All right. So hopefully everyone had a safe and happy Thanksgiving holiday. Not too many books were read, I'm assuming, but...
Oh, we read them over after the holiday, I think, right? between then and this week, I think.
Taught a lot more last week than this week, at least for Durden and myself.
Yeah, I got a couple in this week, not too many.
I got a whopping 2 in.
Really? Oh, I got more than you guys in then, because as usual, I was stuck on a very, very slow commute home, and I got some reading in tonight.
Ah. So, and of course, lots of news going back to last week and into this week, provided by our good friend Roddy Cat. Big thanks to him.
There you go.
So let's get into some of the news, shall we? Not sure what this is, but Jumpstart comic strip in development as a TV series. Anyone heard of Jumpstart comic strip?
No.
No.
As I wait for the link to open and see what this is.
The link to open.
This is coming from comicbook.com. So on the site, they have a comic strip. Go figure. And as soon as it's done spinning, I can see what's at the bottom of it. Rob Armstrong's long-running comic strip Jumpstart with Andrew Orenstein is being developed as a sitcom at Fox, Deadline reports. The series follows a Philadelphia cop who comes home to four crazy kids. His family-friendly style of comedy echoes popular strips like Family Circus and Baby Blues, both of which have been adapted in animation before, although the Deadline story indicates Jumpstart will be live action. Alrighty. Excuse me. Oscar Isaac joins X-Men Apocalypse as Apocalypse. NBC halts Constantine production after 13 episodes. Show might still return for a second season, which sent people petitioning online to save Constantine. Hashtag. I've watched maybe like one third of an episode of Constantine. It wasn't enough to like grab my attention, so I haven't really kept up with it since.
I watched the first one. I thought it was okay. It didn't blow me away or anything, and it's one of those things where I figured that once the season was over, I might sit down and just watch it all on Netflix or something, but not really something that I, you know, make a spot in my schedule for.
Right. Okay. Arrow executive producer reveals when Laurel will become Black Canary. And I'm not sure if it's in the news here or not, but I do want to mention that the crossover between the Arrow, or the Flash and Arrow took place this week. Highly entertaining.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
How good was it?
Very good. Let's see, highlights. They took on, so the Flash comes on Tuesday and Green Arrow or Arrow comes on Wednesday. So the first part was Tuesday and the Flash. I'm trying to remember who they fought in that episode. I can't remember. Can't hear you, Dave. I see you speaking. Are you muted, Dave? Agent 70? Hello? Can't hear you.
Nope, can't.
I saw you mute yourself then, but hello?
Nope.
He says, wow, or mouths, wow.
Here, I'll tell you what, Dave, you talk, and I'm going to try to match words to your lips. Well, here we go right now. I just want to say I ate a big noodle, and
wah, wah, because I out at the sound effects. Still nothing.
Do like the old Peanuts cartoon. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. No, there's nothing, Dave.
Did he even add the dings while I was doing the spiel at the beginning? Okay.
Yeah, I heard the sound effects, sure.
Cool. At least that worked. That's all I'm worried about. Still can't hear you.
Nothing, Dave.
But,
can you unplug your headset and plug it back in?
Yeah, try that. Well, he's working on that. So, the Arrow crew of the Arrow and Dig and Felicity went to Central City to help defeat the villain of the week, who I, like I said, I can't remember exactly who it was. Oh, that's the reason I didn't remember, because it was a villain I didn't recognize. He, like, hypnotized Barry and turned him evil. So then Oliver had to stop Barry, an evil Barry. And then Oliver was trying to train Barry into being a better hero, you know, like casing the joint, not just rushing in straight into a fight, having a plan and a strategy to fighting. Say something now, Dave.
Nope.
No. So that was the Flash. And in last night's Arrow, Captain Boomerang was the villain, who was, we learned, was an ex-Argus agent who was a part of the Suicide Squad that Diggle's girlfriend Lila had to, I guess, like burn the unit down because they were on an operation that went bad. So he was, I guess, pissed about being left in the cold and wanted revenge on her. And so Barry and Cisco and Caitlin, I believe her name is, from Star Labs, came to Starlin City to tackle Captain Boomerang, who was stopped, and we learned at the end was taken to the island prison where Slate Wilson is at. So I'm sure when he breaks free, Captain Boomerang will be with him whenever that happens.
Hmm.
But yeah, it was a fun crossover. I'm hoping it becomes like a yearly thing. And next week, the mid-season finales for both shows come on. In The Flash, he's going to confront the Reverse Flash, who killed his mother. And on Arrow, Ra's al Ghul gives Oliver like 48 hours to find Sarah's killer, or the League of Assassins will storm Starlin City.
Has Ghul been on Arrow before, or is this new?
He's been referenced, and a couple of episodes ago, we actually saw him in the episode.
So okay.
This will be his, I guess next week will be his full on debut. And Dave has left and come back.
Yeah.
So next story, well, that's going on. Michelle McLaren signs on to direct Wonder Woman.
And who is that?
She's directed, I'm going off of memory because when I originally read this story, she's directed a couple episodes of Breaking Bad and some other stuff, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing I'm familiar with because I haven't watched it. And I think she might have done an episode or two of Game of Thrones. I may have that wrong, though. Boom sells Deep State, which I want to read, and The Rents television series. I believe that's part of the first was it, what do they call that? First look deal with, I think, Fox Studios?
Yeah. Deep State, the first one was pretty good. I haven't read number two yet, but I enjoyed number one.
Yeah, since I can log into Boom's site, I figure I can just go get those whenever I feel like actually looking at it. That's from Justin Jordan, right?
Right.
Guillermo del Toro, Justice League Dark Script is finished. And I saw some stuff today of him saying that it's actually going to be a part of their cinematic universe.
Hmm.
As if that was any question. Is Dave still trying to get back with us?
Yet?
Oh, yes, you are.
Yay! Where the heck is that sound effect?
Yeah.
Where is it? There we go.
Hit us with it. That probably like...
There you go.
Like I said, you hit the sound effect and then your sound go off again.
Oh, is that what it is?
that was,
but that'd be funny.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, right? I'm back. I'm here. So I heard you got up to... You were still doing... you got up to Deep State?
Yes.
And Guillermo del Toro? Okay.
Berlanti, who is one of the people over the CW... shows the Arrow, the Flash and Arrow. Says Supergirl could cross over to Arrow and the Flash, even though Supergirl is supposed to be coming on CBS.
That's interesting. Different
network and all. Happen.
Well, you know, they've done that before. There have been other network to network crossovers, so it's possible.
Okay. I know they, he probably has it in the news lower down, but I know there's a rumor of the girl they're trying to cast to be Supergirl. Kind of cute.
I would hope.
She's from the Vampire Diaries and its spinoff show.
Okay.
Marvel's Agent Carter to kick off a 2-hour premiere.
Cool.
Okay, so Slade Wilson's return is slated for Arrow Season 3, which is what they're on now, right? Aren't they on Season 3? See, that doesn't make sense to me. Why would they bring him back already? I need to read this story. As I wait for that to open, we have some big movie news. This is where I'd hear the bong.
Wow, really? Are we calling this big movie news?
Yeah, this is big.
Yeah, I guess.
Suicide Squad cast is revealed. I should have waited to get this open. So the big ones are Jared Leto is playing the Joker, and Will Smith is Deadshot. And was it Margot Robbie is playing Harley Quinn?
Mm-hmm. Tom Hardy is Rick Flag.
Tom Hardy's playing Red Captain. Was it Jack Flag?
Rick Flag.
Rick Flag. I don't know. As Variety tells me, this page will display in 10 seconds. That's stupid. Going to a website, you have to wait for a timer to get to the freaking.
Yeah, I know. Variety for you.
I don't go to Variety unless it's to read these comic book movie announcements. Now I've got too many tabs open.
Hey, Dave, can you adjust your microphone a little bit? Your nose is breathing right into it.
Yes, I can.
Sorry about breathing. That.
Okay, so first going back, Slade Wilson's return, slated for Arrow Season 3. So he's supposed to return in 2015, appearing in the third season's 14th episode. Like I give it to you right up, you know, the specific episode. It's currently unknown whether Bennett will appear in a flashback or as present day Slade Wilson. Yeah. I bet it's a flashback. Suicide Squad cast reveal. So let's see. So Jared Leto's the Joker, Will Smith's Deadshot, Tom Hardy's Rick Flag, Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn, Jai Courtney is Boomerang, and Cara Delevingne is Enchantress. So it will be directed by David Ayer, yada, yada, yada. So are we more excited for Suicide Squad or Batman versus Superman? Or we don't care.
I'm intrigued by Suicide Squad, but at this point with Batman versus Superman, I just want it to be over.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm done.
Get it over with. Let's see it.
Yeah. Like I don't really have high hopes for it. It's just kind of one of those things where it's going to come, it's going to go, and
I think Suicide Squad has potential to be more entertaining just because of that cast.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I was never a fan of the book. I never really picked it up. So, I mean, I understood the premise, but it was just never on my radar growing up. So I don't have any expectations going in.
Mm-hmm.
And with the cast, you know, this, you know, filled with this many kind of name, this many actors with name recognition, you know, I just hope that they can all, you know, kind of coexist and make a good movie. It's one of those things where, you know, I wonder if we're going to be constantly getting, like, you know, Will Smith pulling off that Deadshot mask, which is always cool. You know, it was always one of the cooler masks in DC Comics, and I just imagine him constantly getting it yanked off or him going without it for a long stretch because he's Will Smith.
Yeah, 2/3 of the movie without the mask on.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that'll be disappointing for me. But other than that, I mean, you know, it's a nice bit of casting for them. You know, these are good gets. You know, as far as Hollywood, you know, superhero films go. You know, you can sort of cross off some of these, you know, some of these actors off of like any future Marvel work for at least a little while, because you think maybe they would put in into their contracts they would have like, you know, a number of sequels, kind of like the Marvel contracts.
Mm.
All right. Let's see. So Benedict Cumberbatch officially to play Doctor Strange.
About time. Worst kept secret, right?
Yeah. So Marvel got their big name person to be Strange and carried their next couple of films going forward, supposedly, if you listen to Kevin Feige.
Sure. That's a good get, too, you know, for something that, I mean, obviously Suicide Squad and Doctor Strange are probably on that same level of recognition for, you know, the regular, you know, everyday person, much less the comic book reader. So you would definitely need some sort of name recognition in the actors to get people in there, you know, to get butts in the seats.
Yeah.
I wonder how many, I guess it probably says in the link, but I need to see how many movies he signed on for. As I wait for that link to open, I guess a new Fantastic Four plot details were revealed. I don't care.
Do we have to keep talking about it?
No.
Do we?
I'll see it when, I'll still see it when it comes out. Just.
There you go.
So yeah, CBS is testing Vampire Diaries star as potential Supergirl. There's no need for me to name who it is because none of us watch it anyway. Avengers Age of Ultron's Vision was revealed in some images, I believe. KG Beast to appear in Batman v Superman because that movie doesn't have enough people as it is.
So does Avengers.
Yes, someone will be quick to point out.
That's funny.
Okay, so I got the Marvel Doctor Strange news open. Basically, just reading off his credentials of movies he starred in. Yeah. So, yeah, nothing about how many films he signed on for. Oh, well.
They'll probably announce it later.
Some other side will probably have it. Marvel, I can't see Marvel like putting that in their press release. AMC orders Preacher pilot. Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D. That's good. I can see AMC doing a good job with that.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and The Flash Rise on Big Night. So both of them had good ratings Tuesday night. So I talked about The Flash already. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still creeping closer to hopefully an Inhumans reveal. They've already mentioned the Kree on a couple of occasions.
Right. Well, yeah, they came right out and said it last Tuesday night. Someone came out right out and said Kree. I was like, yes, they said it.
Yep. By name.
That's right.
And I already talked about that. Let's see. Rat Queens artist and co-creator Rock Upchurch arrested for domestic abuse, and he is no longer illustrating the comic. That sucks.
Oops.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yep. Archie's Black Hood enters Marvel Mats and DC Vertigo territory.
Okay.
Howard the Duck.
Oh, so wait. Go back to that for just one second.
Sure.
So another Archie book is going off into, like, adult book territory?
Let me see. As I'm waiting for that article to open. Oh, actually, it might be opening quicker than I thought it would. And nope. Now, as I try to go back to the spreadsheet, okay, there we go. So, yeah, so Howard the Duck is coming from Chip Zdarsky and Joe Quinones.
Are you sure about
Quinones?
That?
Quinones. That's funny.
So, Zdarsky will be writing it, not drawing. Actually, I'm kind of looking forward to this series. I think that'll be fun. Squirrel Girl, not so much, but Howard the Duck, sure. Okay, so back to Archie's Black Hood. This is from Bleeding Cool, by the way. So they have, to paint the picture, it says, this is a panel from a Marvel Max comic, and it looks like white Nick Fury smoking a cigarette. And it says, then it says, this is a panel from a DC Vertigo comic. Two older gentlemen with facial hair, one smoking a cigarette. And then it says, in February, Archie Comics are launching Black Hood. I'm told that the title will veer into Marvel, Matt's, and Vertigo territory, more so than Afterlife with Archie. Our hero is a drug addict hopped on pills, and someone gets shotgunned to the face in the first issue.
Nice.
So no, these are not your grandfather's Red Circle comics.
Obviously not.
Yep, they're going further down the rabbit hole of not being family friendly anymore.
Do you say yay or nay to this?
You know, as someone who has kids, it's getting harder and harder to find stuff that's, you know, unless it's something specifically made for small children based off a cartoon on Cartoon Network.
Right, like a license.
Impossible. Yeah, it's almost impossible to find, you know, books that are safe for little kids. And Archie, for the longest time, was like the last bastion. You know, they were the holdout, the one place you knew you could always go. And for the last 5 years, they've just been flushing it down the toilet. And the only books really that are safe for kids anymore are Mega Man and Sonic.
You know? Don't they still have the Archie Digests?
The Digests just reprint old stuff.
So that at least is right.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get stories from like, you have them in bell-bottom jeans, mm-hmm. you know, and paisley shirts, right. in some of those stories. But yeah, they'll be there. I guess that's just reprinting old material. That's not, you know, making new stuff.
Right. No, I understand.
So it's basically like Boom Studios. Was it Kaboom? Is it the Kaboom stuff that's the kids friendly?
Yeah. Yeah.
That and IDW, right?
Right.
As far as like known publishers, I guess.
Marvel will do books based off their cartoons, so you'll get an Avengers book, you know, that's safe for kids, and they've got a Spider-Man book based off the cartoon show, but if either of those shows end, those books are gone, you know. DC does, you know, Scooby-Doo and Looney Tunes, but most of the time those are even reprints of old books. You know, they're not even doing new material in all of those anymore, so, I mean, just kind of, I don't know, it's just disappointing as a parent trying to buy stuff for your kids, just watching how things go.
Wow.
You're not even sure what I'd get my parent or my children to read if I had them any right now.
It's a hard call. It's a very hard call.
Let's see.
Well, even Squirrel Girl, when that book's coming out, it's rated T or T plus.
Yeah, that's which not one it is. But friendly. Yeah.
Yeah, people would think Rock a Raccoon would be kid friendly, but that's not.
No.
That's like teen friendly.
Yeah. A box set of Marvel Superheroes Secret Wars coming in 2015. Another Hickman book's coming to Image. DC released the third wave of Convergence titles. We got a detailed map of Battleworld from Marvel's All New Secret Wars. Totally forgot about that coming out.
I looked at the map. I mean, you know, it's kind of cool to see how it's all going to be, but I'm still sort of, I'm waiting for how to play out.
Still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you were breaking up a little bit near the end there.
Oh, sorry.
It's cool. Yeah, like I said, I totally forgot that map came out. I need to go back and look at it.
At this point, I'm more excited for Convergence just because it's going to be so wacky out there in the sense of bringing in these old characters that you haven't seen in a long time, and the old 52 versions of characters reappearing and a lot of that kind of stuff going on, as opposed to the big battle where everybody fights.
It'd be fun. And
I don't blame you from that perspective. I don't blame you, but I'm also not keen on reading how Convergence sort of kind of taps back in, purposely been just saying, you know what, you know, let us play this out in terms of the new 52, and then we'll bring it back when we've, you know, when we're damn good and ready. And now, you know, it seems like they've run out of new things to do in the new 52. So it's like, all right, we'll do
because moving their office from New York to California, and they need out of continuity. They
have to, right?
Yeah.
I forget who I was having this conversation with online, but they were, you know, I was saying how I'm looking more forward to Secret Wars than Convergence, and it basically goes back to, you know, what you grew up with as a kid. I have no history with the old school DC stuff, so to me it's all just like, eh. And I really have no old, you know, memories of old school Marvel and Secret Wars either, but I'm just more familiar with their universe. Plus, those alternate realities would be fun to pop my head into. Oh, something else I forgot about. Ultron Forever event to assemble time-traveling Avengers team. So I believe this is a 3-issue like limited series by Al Ewan and Alan Davis. It's like New Avengers number 1, Avengers number 1, and Mighty... or is it Uncanny Avengers number 1, I believe. And it's like a team of Avengers picked from across different timelines. Like, we have current day Vision and Black Widow, old school Thor and Hulk, Captain America from the future, which is actually Jessica Jones and Luke Cage's daughter, Danielle, and Lady Thor, and War Machine. Well, actually, it's not War Machine, it's
Jim Rhodes as Iron Man.
Yeah, you can't say Lady Thor. That's Thor,
yes.
Remember?
We have Thor and Thor.
It's current Chick Thor. We can't say Chick Thor?
Well, I mean, you can. You're just going to have a bunch of womenists all over you.
So this is.
I love the Thor that they picked, though. The armored Thor where he's cursed. It's during the Simonson run, like the latter half of the Simonson run where he's cursed by Hela and he can't heal.
Oh, is that what it was? He also has a beard. He also has a beard.
Exactly. Well, he's grown the beard to cover the scars, and you know, basically his body's being held together by that armor.
Oh,
you really go back and read that Simonson run, though.
So it's like Wolverine once he lost his healing factor.
Sort of.
He got a armor up.
Yeah. It's great stuff. I didn't know about this next story. Mark Silvestri to draw Batman Monthly for DC Comics after Convergence. That's kind of cool to see Silvestri kind of cross over into DC.
That was the interesting story, at least one of them, from I think I saw this week. Supposedly, the rumor is it's going to be like a new title, too. So,
how many more Batman titles do they need?
About 9.
To help make up for the fact that, like... whatchamacallit, JLA Dark doesn't sell at all?
Well, not everybody can make a Squirrel Girl comic every month.
That's true.
Yeah, Marvel has all the indie-ish looking books to put out, and DC will just keep putting up Batman.
Goodness.
And they sell. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, those are the Batman completists, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can say whatever you want about the company, but, I mean, they're just doing what the customers want, and the customers just want more Batman. I mean,
and it,
there you
go. Actually, nowadays, there's enough differences between all the different books where you can sort of get your version of Batman you want.
Yeah.
At least with the new editions. Jim Powell Miotti brings.
How did you pass over Boom teasing Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures? Wild Stallions rule.
there's your quick mention.
There you go.
Excellent.
That's right. Totally. That's funny.
Let's see. So yeah, Jim Powell Miotti has a book coming to Boom. I like what.
But Boom's we don't know what doing. The book is. We don't know what the. Book
it's like from Powell Miotti and some editor at. Newsarama, I think. As Multiversity said back when Newsarama was good.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, snap. Shots fired.
Damn.
I can't remember that far back.
Oh, no.
People are not a fan of lists. Jim and the Holograms, IDW. Was this Frank Miller and Scott Snyder plan to write Dark Knight 3 together?
Really?
Yeah, the Dark Knight comic series, Dark Knight Returns, and
maybe that's what Palmiotti's gonna be drawing. I bet that's what this article says too. Once I get it open, and Free Comic Book Day Gate, well, hashtag FCBD Gate. Free Comic Book Day officially reduced to only 50 titles.
Yeah, well, basically,
isn't that good for retailers though? Because it helps them on shipping.
Well, yes and no. I mean, well, because here's basically what happened is retailers, you know, were complaining about the fact that there's so many books and you have to order. You feel like you have to order all of them, you know, because they're being advertised as a group, and people are coming in or looking for, you know, everything. There's always people that want that entire set of all the books and everything. So there's all these books you have to get, and then.
And you're looking for that mouse guard one, and the stupid store that's in my neighborhood doesn't have it. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Well, because it costs, you know, more. You know, that's the prices keep going up. It gets more and more expensive. A lot of the companies, they're supposed to be publishing books that lead into a new series, or spotlight a big coming, you know, crossover or something like that. But the last few years, we've seen reprints of old books. We've seen.
Right.
You know, companies that produce books for Free Comic Book Day, and then they put out a couple graphic novels a year, and that's it. You know, so it's like, well, what are you really promoting? You're not promoting a series, you're just promoting yourself, you know? You're promoting that your company exists, but not any particular book that customers are going to come back to buy. So the idea was to kind of cut through all of that stuff by keeping the number low and only having those books that are kicking off a crossover or a series that customers are then going to be drawn back to the store to buy, you know, as a returning customer, instead of being that one time a year. The only time you see them is when they're coming in for the free comics, you know? So that was the idea behind it. The problem is that apparently a lot of the books that got cut were books from small publishers that were kicking off new series that they have in the works, but they were getting cut so that Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image, IDW, Boom, whoever have those spots, and a lot of those books are, again, going to be reprints of stuff that came out before, reprints of stuff that is just like the first chapter of the graphic novel in the hopes that you're going to buy the graphic novel or the trade, but not kicking off a new series, not your first look at some big crossover. So it was cut for the right reasons, but then apparently the books that are being selected to fill those spots are being selected for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm. I was always very disappointed in, well, I mean, not always, but in the more recent DC offerings. I know that they reprinted like the Richard Donner, Adam Kubert Superman issue.
Right.
Like a year or two. I was very shocked to see that. You know, of all the publishers putting out something that was so kind of like a really dated reprint.
And Marvel for, I don't remember if it was Free Comic Book Day or Halloween Comic Fest, but for one of those, they reprinted Secret Wars, number one, but it was before the announcement that Secret Wars was coming as a crossover, so you just kind of looked at it like, mm-hmm. Oh, we're getting a reprint of this old comic nobody cares about.
Right, that was probably for Halloween. Because I didn't even know that existed.
Oh, yeah, Halloween Comic Fest is the Free Comic Book Day of the fall.
All right. Get through this variant stuff. So there's going to be an Inhumans 50th anniversary variants to hit Marvel covers in 2015. As that same Multiversity article I was reading joked to my now, all of a sudden, you know, Marvel's big on Inhumans after ignoring them for the past, like, 30 years. Now they want to celebrate the 50th anniversary. Cover looked nice, though.
Yeah.
Although, what about the N variants coming from Marvel that are not Inhumans?
What N covers?
Well, so Marvel has been promoting the fact that they have these variants called IN, the IN, capital I, capital N variants.
Oh, for Inhumans?
Well, no, apparently it's not Inhumans. I mean, that's what people assumed, and you couldn't really, you know, see them ahead of time as retailers and stuff. You just had, like, here's this diamond code, you can order it, but you couldn't see what they were. You didn't really know what they were about. Well, suddenly it comes out that these are, because now they're part of the Disney, you know, universe, that these IN variants have to tie in with the ESPN college football tournament. So it's you're getting a college football variant on the Punisher?
Oh yeah, so that's on here. Yeah,
that's like the next story, yeah.
Marvel launches ESPN college football variant covers, and I am lost.
Yeah. And for the longest time you didn't know what they were. It was just like, hey, here's a diamond order code if you want to order these variants. You know, for every 10 copies of Punisher you order, you can get this IN variant. It's like, well, I don't know what this IN variant is, but okay, we'll order it. And now you find out it's this college football tournament thing. It's like, who cares?
That's funny.
That's our one variant cover discussion a month.
Alrighty.
So book review time. So since we
are you reading your commercial?
Damn it, I still didn't bring it up. Give me a second here. Oh, yeah, I got the Frank Miller story open, by the way. So Frank Miller and Scott Snyder planning to write Dark Knight 3 together. Of course, The Dark Knight Returns by Frank Miller and Klaus Johnson already had a sequel from Miller, Dark Knight Strikes Again, or DK2, published by DC Comics in the '90s, though not as well received by as the original.
The story. An informative article there.
They're going back through the timeline of, I guess, the previous Dark Knights and what Snyder's done on Batman. We are, you know, all this stuff. The story, I'm told, would concern Carrie Kelly, the Robin of Dark Knight, now in her elder years. She is now in a similar position to that of Bruce Wayne in the original Dark Knight, and she is seeking her own successor to protect Gotham. I am told that Frank Miller is too unwell to draw the book, so new artists are being sought. As I got something in my DC co-publisher Dan DiDio and those above him want multiple issues with multiple artists, including the likes of Greg Capullo, Jim Lee, Andy Kubert, Mark Silvestri, and the like. I am told that Scott Snyder prefers a standalone title akin to Sandman Overture without the many spinoffs that Before Watchmen got, and that his artist on the way, Sean Murphy, is a favorite artist choice. I could see that happening. Turn my camera off because my eyes bother me. Go back. Okay, but that's even if it gets made. I understand that there are many other aspects to consider first, including Frank's health. And is there any more? Scroll. Talks about the movie Batman vs. Superman on the way. With the central conflict modeled on that from Miller and Jansen's original Dark Knight Returns, there is certainly an opportunity to be had. Whether the people involved decided it's right to take it is another matter entirely. So, I actually don't even remember a sequel to The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, I read Dark Knight Strikes Again, I think.
Yeah, that's what they called it.
Right.
Anyone DK read that?
DK2, I remember that. I didn't finish it. I didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't really care for it all that much either. I love the original one, but this one, trying to do some riff on paranoia at the overreaching of the government.
Right, it was post 9/11, so.
Well, but it was more of like his libertarian thing, and I don't know. The framework of Dark Knight Returns. He tried to reuse it, basically, and it just felt very much like, I've already been here, you know? And I don't know, just didn't work. It was just trying to go back to that experiment and redo it. And when you can read the other one so easily, and it's so well known that revisiting it the way he did it just didn't bring anything new to the table, really.
Okay. So I got my ad up here. So this one will be from My Comic Shop. Today's podcast is sponsored by MyComicShop.com. Go to coldslitherpodcast.com, then click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, click on the My Comic Shop banner and order from a vast selection of new releases, back issues, vintage classics, graphic novels, and more to be delivered right to your door. Why bother slipping to the local comic book store when you can order your books online? My Comic Shop through coldslitherpodcast.com. Do it today. Yeah.
There you go.
MyComicShop.com.
Hey, say something again so it comes up there.
Hey, everybody, make sure you see MyComicShop.com. There you go. MyComicShop.com. One more time. MyComicShop.com. What's that name? It's MyComicShop.com.
Gotta pay those bills.
Next episode will be a different ad, so gotta watch to hear what I pimp next. So we didn't have a show last week, so there was no review, so we're gonna include last week's with comics with this week's.
Right.
Any book that anyone wants to go ahead and just throw out there immediately?
Yeah, this week or last week.
Well, the only one I read that I think either of you read from last week was New Avengers 27. Did anybody else read New Avengers 27?
Yes, I did read New Avengers 27.
All right, so it wasn't just me. I figured if it was an Avengers book, you guys probably read it.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a pretty good bit.
Yeah, it's a good bit.
You know what? To be honest, I was okay with it. There was a lot of the Hickman mumbo-jumbo going on. There was a lot of, we're in the space in between the space, where the space is not the space, but where there is space, where there's no space. But at least I felt like it's trying to weave something together, like it's trying to give some sort of explanation out of what has been like the weirdest jump that they've done in the Avengers comics with the whole, hey, we're sending half these guys to the other end of the multiverse so they can work their way back. What? Like, what does that even mean? So at least here, right, they're at least trying to say, okay, well, there's something more to it than just, I don't know, just these crazy all worlds just crashing into each other. There is something else going on. So I don't know. I at least enjoyed the fact that they were putting something to it, even though this was incredibly hard to read, and in the end, I don't know that it made a whole lot of sense, but it tried to make some sense, so that's something, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny is that there's obviously little bits here, little threads that Hickman has picked up on. Like, my memory's a little shot of this, but when I saw the hammer, the inscription on the hammer that Odin's son uses in this issue, I was like, oh, where did that come from? And it made me sort of think back to where this has popped up. So if anything, this made me want to turn back and find out where I had last seen that. I give Hickman some credit for leaving those threads and then picking them up again. There's also a great, I guess it wasn't the best held secret when you saw the character that appears, because he's got a certain eye of something or other around his cloak, you know what I mean? Or on the throat of his cloak. So I won't spoil it, although I already have. It's called Benedict Cumberbatch, people. You know. He pops up in this, if you know what I'm talking about.
Well, this was last week's book, so you can go ahead and throw out spoilers.
All right, fine. It's Doctor Strange. He pops up under that funny-looking thing with that funny-looking thing on his head. But that's the Eye of Agamotto around his neck, so you know that's him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's so funny because...
But, I mean, is that him, or is that an alternate universe him?
Oh, who knows? At this point, it's all so confusing, mumbo-jumbo-y.
Is there a Doctor Strange of the space between the space who's different from the Doctor Strange of the space?
That's funny.
What I'm tripping off of is I totally forgot that Doctor Strange was even a part of the Illuminati New Avengers since time went out started in the 8 months in the future. It was like, oh yeah, I forgot all about Doctor Strange.
Forgot about Strange.
Doctor Strange.
Hmm.
How you forget about Strange?
Yeah. All right.
All right. Anybody read anything else last week?
A couple things.
The list.
Captain America and the Mighty Avengers number 2. So this is going to be what's going to be funny is trying to remember what happened last week in these books I read. So for Captain America and the Mighty Avengers, I can remember because it's still tied into Axis. The heroes are inverted. All new Foul Cap is angry and mad. Actually, he's not even the focus of the issue. It's Luke Cage, angry and mad. He tries to sell the license or trademark to
the Mighty Avengers. He was for hire. And Mighty Avengers, I think.
Yeah, to the guy that we think is the Beyonder. Is that who it is? I forget the exact villain, business person he's trying to sell it to.
I forget.
But then we find out that Jessica Jones owned part of Heroes for Hire too. So and plus, like the way that the business was fronted, every person in Mighty Avengers owns a stake of it. She-Hulk, of course, being a lawyer, is part of the team, so she filled us all in on the legalities of it.
Right.
Those stupid lawyers always getting in the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I resemble that.
And so it's going to be, then at the end we find out it's going to be a team of inverted Avengers and heroes taking on the Mighty Avengers.
Gotta love it.
And that's about it. Love it.
What did I read from last week?
I'm going to quickly get out Scarlet Spiders number 1, just because I was looking forward to it, because at least in the preview issues, I thought, oh, that art looks nice. Not much really happened in this issue, and I don't even know if I'm going to read the rest of this tie-in series. I was disappointed.
Well, that sucks.
Same with I did also read Spider-Man 2099 number, whatever it was, that came out last week. I don't know if I'm going to keep reading that either. The last couple of issues of Spider-Man 2099 haven't really done it for me. And I actually think it's the artist who I can't think of. I always want to call him Declan Shalvey, even though I know it's not Declan.
No, it's not. Right, I was about to say
the guy that was doing Fearless Defenders.
His name is Sliney.
Yeah, Will Sliney. It looks like he's doing. It looks too, like, I know everyone's drawing digitally now, but it looks too digital, if that makes sense.
No, I feel you on that. Although I'm not 100% sure he does it digitally. I think it's a style that just doesn't mesh well. I like his style on Fearless Defenders, but it's not working for me on Spidey 2099.
Yeah.
I don't know that it looks terribly digital.
Maybe it's the color. Something. It just doesn't look... It looks too... Everyone looks too mannequin-ish.
Not enough depth?
Yeah. Everyone looks like sort of like 3D-ish. And then the colors look odd. It's too bright. Not that being bright is a bad thing.
Right.
I think it's the colors and people look too much like mannequins in it for me.
Right. What did I read last week? I throw out a DC book. I read Superman number 36 last week. More Superman versus Ulysses, this Earth child that has come back from a different dimension, different world or different dimension, and he's got Superman-like powers, and he's trying to ship off humanity and save them from this direct planet that we live on, and you know, there's all sorts of stuff going on, and Superman's like, no, they have to, you know, choose, you know, there's a ulterior motive that way, and it's not everything's not as it seems. He's not necessarily trying to save, you know, portions of humanity by putting them on this alien ship. So some fighting ensues, as is, you know, bound to happen in a Superman book where there's another Superman-level person, you know, in it. So we'll see what happens next. This story, what's funny is that I've been trying to give these Superman stories a for me. I'm enjoying Superman and the Superman Wonder Woman a lot better, a lot more than the books, than the solo books. So, you know, I'm wondering if maybe Superman at this point generally needs more characters to bounce off of for me to be interested in.
Well, you know, one of the things that made the Superman books so big in the first place was just the fact that he had this huge supporting cast of characters. And then, of course, when the New 52 came, they had to wipe out a bunch of that to start over. And so without all of those other characters for him to work off of, because, you know, it's the story we've heard 1,000 times. It's like, what do you do with a guy who can never be beaten? You know, his only weakness is his friends, really. So that's where it really has to come from. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they've added, they've brought in Lana Lang. They brought her back for a while, and they've been working Jimmy Olsen back into it here and there. But, you know, for the most part, he doesn't have that huge cast of characters that really flesh out his, you know, the idea of him being here on Earth. So that's something that they gotta work on.
Right. I think they've been trying to get away from Lois slightly. They've been stressing Lana Lang, which I think is a good thing. But ultimately, you know, I find the Superman team up books a little bit more just a bit easier to read and a little bit more entertaining.
All right, what else?
I will say I think I'm going to give up on Superman. I'm a couple of issues behind on Action Comics. I think that's going to be my Superman book to stick with.
Dirt, I got a question for you. I didn't get a chance to read it. I picked up a physical copy, ODC from Image, that Matt Fraction sci-fi book last week.
Odyssey,
is that what it is?
Yeah, like The Odyssey.
Okay, I didn't know. Forgive me. I've already had some drinks. But
on your train ride home.
Yeah. Lawyer coming home from work.
Some drinks right now. But no, in all seriousness, I did not realize that that was short for Odyssey. So, you know, bad on my part.
So what'd you think of it?
No, I didn't have a chance to read it. I was wondering if Dirt had maybe gotten some reviews from customers on it before I had a chance to crack it open. It's in my, you know, it's in my pile of things to read.
No, it's one of those books that, I mean, because it's the holidays. Mm-hmm. You know, not as many people coming in and out right now. You know, we had some limited hours and things like that. So, no, just haven't really heard a whole lot about it coming back yet.
I tried reading it, if that helps.
Really?
That bad, huh?
The keyword is tried. It's one of those
is
books.
Is it mumbo jumbo-y?
Maybe if I knew the story of the Odyssey, it would make more sense to me.
Mm.
But to me, it was a lot of mumbo jumbo. The art looks nice, like it's pretty and colorfully, but I couldn't keep up with what was going on.
I'll tell you something funny. I got sold on it when I was at the comic book shop, and I saw the fold out. There's a fold. You know, I'm a sucker for these things. There's like a fold out chart and like an image, and you know, look at this fold out, people. This is, you know, this is Odyssey, and you know, like there's just this fold out of all this stuff you just got to look at, and I'm like, wow, yeah.
What info is on that those pages?
Well, there's a map, and then there's images, like a fold out, like mini poster, and it's just a lot of stuff to read, and I was just impressed. You know, it's like a gigantic splash page. Look at this. It's like two, you know, it's just, you know, feet long wide. You never opened it, did you, Dirt?
No, I didn't. I saw there was Matt Fraction, and I was just like, nah, I'm not that worried about it.
That's funny. So so ultimately, this is what sold me on it. When I picked it up, the shop proprietor was like, take a look at that. And I opened it. I was like, what is this? I'm buying this. I'm just going to look at this.
What's the cover price on it?
I will tell you, it's probably $3.99.
I was going to say, is it $2.99 or $3.99?
It's probably $3.99, but let me confirm that for you.
It takes you 5 minutes to refold it to get to
dinner. Yeah, that is comedy. Although now I can't find the
price. I'm pretty sure it's $3.99, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Most of the image books are nowadays.
Oh, no, there it is. Yep, $3.99.
Okay, I've got a question that I actually thought about earlier today, and thankfully I remember to ask the panel tonight. I don't want to phrase it. What? So, of course, Matt Fraction has a couple of books out for Image. He has Odyssey Now. He's got Sex Criminals. Casanova. Is Casanova something old, or is that still coming out? That's something old.
It's coming back. It's old, but it's coming back.
Okay. So that, Satellite Sam. And then you have... I was thinking about this because Birthright 2 or Birthright 3 came out this week, even though I didn't have a chance to read it yet, from Joshua Williams. You know, Joshua Williams, he's got Birthright, he's got Ghosted, I think those are a Nailbiter. And then you have Vic Remender has Low, has Black Science, and has Deadly Class. Basically what I'm getting at is, like, all these writers have all these multiple books out, mostly at the same time with Image. I wonder how much, like, they take money away from each other, having like all these multiple books out at the same publisher at the same time. Does that make sense as a question?
No, I mean, ultimately every book is taking money from every other book because, you know, there's only so much money each collector walks into the store with, so they have to make decisions, you know, based on, you know, what the pull list is and what they're willing to try out. So, you know,
like, I feel like you always say, like in MVP races in sports, like, if there's two teammates on the same team, they take votes away from each other because they don't know whether to vote for one, you know, or the other. You know, it's a choice. They take votes away from each other. Like, I feel like these writers that had the books out at the same time are, like, taking money from...
Cannibalizing each other?
Yeah, cannibalizing, like, profits and sales.
Right.
Like, the lesser... maybe two out one time isn't so bad, but, like, three and then four...
Well... I mean, I don't know, you know, obviously it's going to be different at different stores in different states, different cities, but there are really only one or two guys who come in and will say, oh, that's a Matt Fraction book, I'm going to buy that book. For the most part, people just kind of come in and pick up the book and flip through it. And most of the Image books, unless it's something like, you know, Walking Dead that has that crossover appeal, most of the Image books really are just kind of a small audience of people that just buy weird...
Fans of the creators?
No, not even specifically the creators, just fans of... They want something that's not
big
capes.
Two. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just looking for something that's other than superheroes. So they're just as likely to buy Conan as they are to buy... Birthright, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. They're looking for a specific genre of storytelling as opposed to, hey, this is another Matt Fraction book from Image, I got to go pick that up. You know, the only thing that really is pushing Image books nowadays is their variant covers. They're doing the floor display variants where they have a different Image logo on them and stores only get a certain number of them. You know, based on sales and whatever, and it's become a collectible variant cover. And so, I mean, we can sell, you know, 10 times as many copies of a book because it has that variant cover on it, you know, that we're able to get a hold of for our store. But, I mean, for the most part, a lot of those books that were big, you know, Saga has dropped. There's a handful of people that pick that up. Books like Sex Criminals, there's like two guys
really?
Who pick that up. Nobody else, you know, really wants to even go near it, it seems like. Southern Bastards has, you know, one or two people that pick it up. You know, it's just people are looking for a specific type of story, not necessarily that they're buying everything that Matt Fraction does. And that just seems to be how the market has shifted a little bit.
Okay. I just popped in my mind, I was kind of wondering what y'all's thoughts were on it. See, like, because I think, like, even like trying to be a creative person, it seems like, and I know like a lot of these books have been like in the making for like years, so it's not like they just started coming up with the ideas, but it seemed like having multiple indie books out at one time seemed like maybe having less books, they can put more time into them, so there's not like the huge breaks in between books and whatnot.
Right. I mean, the key is to do different types of, like, everyone's doing their own different types of books. Like, if you look at Kirkman, he does the zombie book, he does a superhero book, he does a crime book. You know, like, those are his big three books, and those are three different genres of storytelling. And people who are fans of The Walking Dead and zombies are not necessarily people that are going to buy Thief of Thieves. I mean, they see Kirkman does it, but they're like, eh, it's, I don't know, mafia guy, whatever, like, nah, it's not zombies. You know,
right.
People who are fans of Criminal or Fatale will see a book like Thief of Thieves and go, oh, I want to pick that up. But it's not like the creators are drawn in anymore. You know, for a while there, you had Bendis wrote everything at Marvel, you know, so everything just had that right. Bendis feel to it. And so that kind of brought writers back to the forefront. But now it's kind of shifting away from that again, where people don't necessarily seem to care who's writing it anymore. It's the character and the genre more than it is the writer.
Gotcha. Okay. That's for derailed things enough. Just a thought.
I gotcha. Did anyone read Superior Iron Man number 2?
Yes.
So this sort of played out the way I thought it would once I understood what the point of Extremis was and how, and the twist that they were going to put on Extremis in this book. You know, once they introduced the idea that he would be kind of butting heads or horns, as it may be, with Daredevil, you know, the way this book kind of moved along, I was like, oh, yeah, this is what's going to happen. And, you know, wouldn't you know, at the end of the book, no spoilers, even though it's a week old, what I thought would happen happened. So I wasn't really surprised. I was actually kind of disappointed that they, you know, that they ended up going in the obvious direction.
Yeah, I guess when it will finally trickle over into the Daredevil book.
Right, if only temporarily, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it ever does at all.
Yeah, but if right. it's temporary, if it's a temporary thing, then it doesn't even have to.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's see, what else from last week, if anything? No, that's pretty much it. I mean, if anyone's reading Ghost Rider, all new Ghost Rider number 9 was okay as a follow-up story. There's still some explanation as to the spirit that's actually inhabiting Robbie Reyes because it's obviously not one of the original spirits that dealt with the previous Ghost Riders, so they're expanding on that. All New Invaders number 12. Wow, it's like I'm in rapid review mode for last week. Invaders. Yeah, I was about to say All New Invaders number 12 was it's a trip down memory lane. I don't understand if I'm supposed to be excited for. I'll spoil this because, you know, does anyone really remember who this character is? Killraven has been reintroduced into the Marvel 616. So I think the last time I saw Killraven was in Avengers Forever, a long, long time ago, like late 90s. So I don't know if this is for good or bad. Obviously, All New Invaders is. You know, has been canceled and it's playing out the string, so, you know, we'll see what's left. This particular issue was only so-so. We do deal with the Martian invasion or that's going on or has gone on or has been going on for a long time, so if you want to finally get some closure or at least get the continuing story, you know, pick this book up, you know, see if you like it. I liked it, and, you know, I'm looking to see how it ends.
I did happen to flip through that issue a couple nights ago, and I say flip through just because, I mean, they were telling the story about the Martians landing and fighting them in the past. It didn't keep my attention, but I did see the Killraven at the end, and I was like, hey, that name sounds familiar. That was the extent of it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Pretty much it. All right, as for this week.
Let's see, let me make sure I got everything from last week. Amazing X-Men number 13 was entertaining. It was a one-off issue written by James Tynion IV. Art by Jorge Jimenez, I believe, who ended the Superboy series on at DC. It focused on Nightcrawler. Who's the guy from North Star? And Anole, hopefully that's how you say his name, from Young X-Men, New X-Men. And just, I guess, like the differences and similarities between the characters, like all of them, well, Anole and Northstar are gay, and Anole is gay and has to deal with being not looking human, and kind of like dealing with that in the world. And one of the Mastermind's daughters, Lady Mastermind, is in it.
Okay. But
apparently, there's a couple of them, so I'm not even sure if it's the same one that's been hanging around Mystique and all new X-Men.
I love it.
But art was great. Nice story. One and done. Right. Nova 24. Nova got a concussion fighting Woke. As I just shake my head at that.
Oh, I think I did read this Nova 24.
His helmet is damaged, and he actually used some strategy to beat Woke.
Right. Isn't it funny that his mother knows his secret identity, his superhero identity?
I like that she knows, and it's not that big a deal. She's just like, you know, be careful, and that's
exactly. It's different. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, really? My mom would be absolutely on the other polar opposite side.
Yeah. And I think there was one other thing I read last week. Oh, actually, two. Cyclops number 7. Nothing really happened in this. It's him dealing with being a part of the being put on the crew that captured himself and Corsair and Starjammers, and he's trying to devise a plan to save everyone. And Gotham by Midnight, okay, number 1. I actually enjoyed this more than I thought I would. So was it Jim Corrigan, the Spectre, and a team, I forget what they're called, it's like something 13. It's like the Midnight, they call them the Midnight Shift, that work with the Gotham police, and they take on, like, you know, the peculiar cases, like
bad
X-Files. Yeah, and like it's the issue start with, well, it didn't start, but inside the issue, like Batman meets with Corrigan somewhere and gives him a whole bunch of, like, a folder full of files, and Corrigan just kind of like goes through it to find like the one oddball one to go after, and he just kind of like knows when he sees it. And there's a funny joke in there, like, Batman's like, why can't I just, like, email this to you, whatever, and Jim Corrigan says something like, there's something about digital files that he doesn't like they're haunted or something stupid.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So, oh, and the issue, so basically the issue's focused around the internal affairs guy that comes to check on this group that doesn't like file paperwork or anything, and he thinks they're like misusing funds. So of course you have to prove to unbeliever that they're doing, you know, actually doing work. So that's like the basis of the story.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And that was all last week.
All right. So as for this week, did anyone read Escape from New York number 1?
No.
No.
Really? Well,
it's more of a time issue than an interest issue, though.
Gotcha.
You'd actually say that for every book this week, if you're asking.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's true. So I had a chance to read this while trying to escape from New York myself, get back from Manhattan into Brooklyn, haha. You know, it was interesting. It's the direct aftermath of the movie. So we have Snake Plissken, you know, basically screwing over the prison of the United States. No spoilers for a movie that's this old. And we have the immediate aftermath of, you know, where Snake goes right after that. And if you're interested in that, then this is the book for you. It's actually, you know, it's fairly well done. you know, the cover does not reflect the art that's inside, but it's in a similar vein. If anyone is into kind of 80s action, this is definitely up your alley.
Okay.
Kind of tough guy action.
Who was the publisher on this?
This is Boom.
Boom. They're also doing Big Trouble in Little China.
Right.
Which is another John Carpenter movie. With Kurt Russell. Because they hang out a lot, apparently.
All right. What about... anyone read Gotham Academy? Number 3?
Not yet.
Dang, I don't want to talk about all this stuff because you guys didn't read it yet.
No, I haven't read pretty much anything. I mean, you name a book, I probably haven't read it. Just, you know, bad week.
Gotcha. Busy stuff. Busy, I know. No. I mean, I'll talk about it in the abstract. The art is always the highlight of this book for me. It's so pretty to just look at and just flip through. You know, I love it just for the artwork. You know, and the story itself is still pretty engaging. So, you know, I give it, you know, good reviews across the board. I like this, you know, I like where this is going. There's always going to be, because it's a Gotham, there's always going to be a tie back to Batman or a small itty-bitty cameo appearance, what might be Batman. But otherwise, you know, these characters are just, you know, developing in front of us. And I have become a fan of this book. So, you know, I'll be making sure to pick this up, you know, on my pull list soon. That's a big leap.
Whoa.
The physical pull list.
Exactly, physical pull list. More abstract reviews. Iron Fist number 7. It's been a while. It's been delayed.
It's funny. I thought when this book was first announced, it was a limited series. But I see it's ongoing. It is.
I think it is a limited series.
It's a long-ass limited series.
Because there's been a delay between the last issue and this issue.
Probably because he's writing and drawing it.
Right.
It's just been no breaks from the team, no fill-ins.
Right. Exactly. So, ultimately, Kari Andrews has, you know, taken his sweet time to do this. I like this book. I know Eclectic, you know, has kind of derided this book and the art style. I like it. It's just quirky enough, you know, to be interesting. I like Kari Andrews' fight choreography. You know, I think he does a very good, you know, fight scene, at least, you know, like the drawing the progressions in the fight scenes. And, you know, he's done a good job of developing and expanding upon what Fraction and Brubaker created in Immortal Iron Fist way back when, and has been kind of touched on since, but I like where Kari Andrews has taken this. So, you know, kudos to him. This is definitely in the running for my personal click of the week this week, because for the last 2 weeks, because I just had a good time reading this. Angela Asgard's Assassin number 1.
How was that?
It was okay. The Phil Jimenez art is good. I seem to observe that he's kind of refined his art. He used to be very much a George Perez clone, not a clone, but it was so very reminiscent of George Perez that, you know, you'd almost be, you know, you wouldn't be wrong if you thought, hey, Perez is doing a such and such book, and say, oh no, that's actually Phil Jimenez. In this case, I think the art and the coloring, you know, it served to kind of tweak his style so that it's a little bit less like an homage to George Perez and a little bit more a unique style for Phil Jimenez. And I give him a lot of credit for developing and progressing in that direction. With regard to the story, there's a lot of, I guess, explanation that we did not get in that 10th Realm limited series as to what on earth being an angel from Heaven or Heaven is supposed to mean. If you're interested in that and trying to see what happens, you know, pick this book up. There is an appearance by a certain group of Asgardians, and you know that leads towards a cliffhanger. I thought that was actually the best part of this book. I thought the explanation into the explanation of Angela's character and kind of establishing a backstory for her was boring. But you know, you have to, you know, as always with the first issue, that's not the character's very first appearance, but the character really hasn't had much in terms of, you know, development outside of this. You know, you kind of have to give Gillen some slack and say, look, he had to probably write a good 5-6 pages of this stuff so that he could establish the character and establish some motivation and establish some characterization that we could, you know, kind of, that he could kind of work off of. So it's not the worst first issue in the world, but I thought that the first maybe third of the book was kind of tough to kind of slog through.
I'm kind of interested to check that out whenever I get to
it. That's a first issue. It's a first issue. It's not a bad idea to at least try it. Very quickly, I should not have been talking about Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 17 2 weeks ago. I should have been talking about it last week because it did not come out until last week. Shame on me. Shame on me.
But what'd you think of it?
I said it 2 weeks ago. It was pretty cool as a good, you know, as
I read it this week. And,
you know?
Well, not this week. I read it last week. Last weekend, I believe it was. Yeah, I loved the ending. It fit the series as far as the tone mm-hmm. being hilarious and fun and a nice right. long letter page from a certain wrestler.
CM Punk.
Yep. Actually, I tweeted this earlier tonight. So Nick Spencer had a Marvel chat talking about Ant-Man and hyping that up, which I need to read at some point. Tonight, probably after the show. But I have high hopes for that series now, just because if it's in the same vein as Superior Foes, I think it'll have the same amount of success, but more, just because it'll have more eyes on it because it's Ant-Man and there's this movie coming out for it.
Right.
So, yeah. I'm firmly in the Nick Spencer fan club.
Cool.
I like his Avengers World and Superior Foes, obviously.
Yeah, no, Superior Foes, I'm actually going to be interested in picking that up in a trade. You know, like one collected volume. That's actually, you know, the way it read after a while, you know, I wasn't all that keen on the, you know, their dealings with the Superior Spider-Man, but, you know, as the story kind of progressed and left them on their own to do their thing, I had a lot of fun reading it, so I'm actually interested in picking that up in a collected version, in a collected edition at some point.
Okay. What else came out this week? Or last week? Actually, I did all last week.
Inhuman number 9?
That was... It was interesting. So, it's been a couple of issues, so I totally forgot what reader and the girl he found and saved had been up to, and this other like colony of Inhumans he took her to.
Right.
It's Nihilus or something it's called. Mm. I like the setup because it looks like Reader might be, you know, we think Reader is one person, but then we find out he might not be that type of person. But then he might really be.
Right.
Without spoiling too much.
Exactly. It was an interesting issue. It's an Axis tie-in as well.
Yeah.
We get a little bit of Axisified.
So there was no Axis issue? Was there an issue of Axis this week? Or was it just like the tie-ins and Revolutions?
There was the Revolutions, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Man, I can't wait till this is over.
Same.
You're just like, I'm mad that it's even touching. And the books I like reading, like Mighty Avenger, Captain America and Mighty Avengers, and tying into Inhumans. It's like, no, you, the stink of Axis is getting on these books I like.
That's funny.
That's only me, though.
No, it's not just you. It's I definitely agree. I definitely agree with you. I wanted to read Thanos versus Hulk number 1 this week. I did not have a chance to get to it.
I said I'd at least flip through it to see how good the art looks.
Real quick, Hulk number 9 was actually pretty good this week.
Oh, yes. That was on my list right after Inhuman to read.
Hulk number 9 was a surprisingly good read this week. It's actually on it's a sleeper pick for Click of the Week. I have not liked where the Hulk has gone the last, this particular volume, but this issue was very well done. So, like I said, it's very much a sleeper pick of the Click of the Week. Is anyone reading Deadpool anymore, like post-Axis? This is probably the only Axis crossover that's interesting to me because Duggan just is writing it so well.
I probably should read it because it's Duggan, but I don't know, I'm kind of weird with Deadpool. Like, I don't feel like I really need to read it. But I like the art on it, and I like Duggan, so I was like, yeah, I should be reading this, but then, like, I have the last three issues saved up to, like, read, but now I'm like, I'm probably never going to get to this. I don't need to read it.
I mean, this Axis crossover is actually fun, because it's just that...
Because it's Deadpool as a good guy, right?
No, as a pacifist.
Well, that's what I meant, yeah, pacifist.
Yeah, I was about to say, those don't necessarily go together, but yeah, as a pacifist, it's very interesting. And, like I said, Duggan really carries the story. It's just very well done. I give him a lot of credit. And the cover caught my attention right away. You know, it's an homage to one of my favorite John Romita Jr. Uncanny X-Men covers ever. And David Nakayama is the cover artist, and he does a great homage to that cover. You know, one of the best that I can remember. You know, that, and there's another Romita Jr. cover from that particular run of Uncanny X-Men that are like right up there in my favorite covers. So, but, in terms of, the stink of Axis, I think the stink of Axis has not really rubbed off on this book. The Deadpool, the twist on Deadpool has actually served to be, kind of an interesting plot point and an interesting thing for Duggan to interpret, as opposed to some of the other ones, because the other ones are just not very creative. Like, let's make some of these characters bad, or let's make Scarlet Witch crazy again,
Okay. Legendary Star-Lord number 6 is the last thing I've read. So it's Peter Quill and Kitty Pryde's date night.
Nice.
But isn't she evil?
No.
No, she's not. She wasn't on Genosha when everyone was inverted. But so it's their date, and at various points of the night, Peter has to deal with the Suicide Squad. Slaughter Squad.
That's funny.
As they try to capture him. And then they succeed. And then we find out the identity of Mr. Knife.
All right.
I shall say. And it's someone we know.
All right. Cool. I guess I'm going to have to read that, find out who the hell Mr. Knife is.
Yeah.
All right. Are we almost at Click of the Week time, or do I have time for one more?
You can do one more.
Yeah.
Probably my candidate for Click of the Week, something I'm still having so much fun reading, I can't recommend this book enough, is Guardians 3000. This book is just full, chock full of just fun things to read. I can't stress this enough. This is definitely not, it's not unfriendly to new readers. At this point, it probably does help to have read the first two issues, but you can definitely pick this book up with just a smattering of Marvel knowledge, some knowledge of Marvel history, and you can just jump right into this and figure out how it all fits together. The characterization of this new character that's sensitive to slips in time, is pretty fun. Her name is escaping me. I'm trying to look for it now. Oh, it's Gina. So You know, her characterization is good. The characterizations of Charlie 27 and Yondu, who kind of take front, who kind of take center stage in this issue. You know, it's just really well done. It's a little bit of a not a buddy comedy at this point, because the Guardians have been kind of split up. So we've got a smaller group that we're dealing with. They're being chased by, and it's kind of well and kind of not, because it's in the solicits. They're being chased by a group called the Stark, and it's pretty much what you think it might be. Read it and find out, because it's you know, it's just very well done. It's an entertaining book. The art is on the manga-ish side, but still, I think, very well done. I think it's Gerard or Gerardo Sandoval doing the art on this. Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's a fun read. You know, I can't recommend this enough. Honestly, we were talking before about kid friendly. Yes, there's violence in this, but this is probably the most lighthearted superhero action book there is right now.
Yeah, you
so
like
this
the last
is probably. I'm sorry.
You were big on the last issue.
Yeah,
so you were
I like
big on
this
the last
book.
Issue.
Yeah, I like this book. I'm. This is a book that I'm excited to see in our queue, and I'm excited to pick up. You know, when we get my books. So this is, you know, like you know, it's a little early for me to throw my click of the week, but this would be mine.
And it's not early because we're about to do clicks of the week.
All right.
So that's yours. Now I need to think about what mine would be.
You got 2 weeks worth of books to look at.
Yeah, there's a couple. You know, I like Gotham by Midnight. I liked Superior Iron Man 2.
Gotham Academy was close for me this week.
I'm going to go with Superior Foes with Spider-Man 17.
Nice.
That's a nice send-off. New Avengers 27?
Actually, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. You know, we're talking about comics that my son can read. And there's a new title. Only has a couple issues out. But it is by far one of his favorites, because it accurately reproduces the source material. And that's Uncle Grandpa. And he will actually laugh out loud reading this comic, just as he does when he watches the TV show.
That's a TV show? Lord, I'm so out of touch.
You're not watching Cartoon Network all day?
God.
You either don't have kids or you're not in college. But yeah, because it's... So often with the kids' books, they're just simple, you know, not necessarily funny. But this is one that he will actually sit there, like I said, he will laugh out loud. You have to wonder, and of course you say something like, well, what are you laughing at? And he'll go, oh, well, here, why don't you read it? And 9 times out of 10, you sit there and you look at a kid's comic, and you're like, oh, I'm not going to read that. But this one, because it is accurate to the show, I actually don't mind reading it sometimes.
Nice.
Cool. All right, so that is the episode.
Yeah.
And Agent 70, do you want to tease our guests for next week?
Yes, we will have some guests for next week. They are promoting. I should pull up the actual name of the product. I didn't have it in front of me.
Well, you had to get the entire.
I'll tease it then. We'll have on the show next week guests who have a Kickstarter, who've created a deck building card game that's based around superheroes. And tune in next week to find out how you can contribute, get your become a part of a Kickstarter program that's bound to surpass its goals and create a game and publish a game that, you know, is right up our alley as fans of comic books. That's, you know, it's for it's based on superheroes and, you know, basically creating your own and playing with different types of heroes and exploring their powers, you know, all in the structure of a card game. So, you know, for anyone that played Magic, anyone that played Overpower, shout out to Overpower. Doug laughs. He's a little older. Tim is probably like, what the hell is Overpower?
No, I remember all those games. I worked in the comic store.
Yeah, so, you know, shout out to Overpower. You know, for anyone who played those, you know, next week, tune in. You'll find out how to get in on the ground floor and learn about a brand new deck building game that's based on superheroes. So tune in next week, 9-ish. You know, you'll get the link. Tim will tweet it out. Go to coldslitherpodcast.com and theclicknation.com to get the link and tune in next week.
Yeah.
There you go. Chang, chang.
Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDOGG98 and at TheClickNation. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. Dirt is at PCN_Dirt. And go to his website, PopCultureNetwork.com.
Woohoo!
Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat. And his news Twitter feed account is at News Nerds Need. And, oh, and also coldslitherpodcast.com.
Yeah.
So we will see you back live next Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We are the Comic Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Hey!